Painter figured out.
Not yet, I haven't got him figured out yet. He may not have me figured out yet either. We're working at it still.
I'll call this meeting to order of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments at this time. Mr. Coxey, would you give us a roll call?
Dave Clemenson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Bob Hanslin. Jack Johnston.
Present.
David Nelson.
Present.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. How about the explanation for the public hearing procedures?
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Board of Adjustment hearing procedures. Today's Board of Adjustment meeting is held to hear variance requests and appeals on decisions made by the Taney County Planning Commission. The Board of Adjustment meeting is governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Public hearings are held on each request or appeal which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission. I would like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case to be heard as Exhibit B, the staff file including all pertinent information for each case to be heard as Exhibit C, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws for each case to be heard as Exhibit D for every case to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the board, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairperson. And any person who wishes to speak either for or against any case to be heard today must be sworn in.
Thank you. And David, would you read us the governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Number two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Three, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege, to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map.
Thank you very much. And tonight we have two public hearings, one for Matthew Scott Stalkup. Give us the staff report, Mr. Coxey, and video. Thank you.
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report dated May 19, 2010 for Matthew Stalkup, case number 010-3. This is a public hearing for Matthew Scott Stalkup, 8437 East State Highway 76 in the Swan Township, Section 16, Township 23, Range 20. The applicant is requesting a variance from Appendix G sign permit requirements of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. History is that the property is located off of State Highway 76 near the junction of State Highway 76 and M Highway. The property contains a mobile home which is rented and a garage. General description, the subject property contains 1.29 acres. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial and residential. To view, the applicant would like to use the property as an off-site advertising structure. The area in question rests on Herbert Road, making the road border the two sides of the property. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance, the following requirements shall apply unless provided by the board. Number one, approval for a variance off of State Highway 76 for a sign in accordance with the PHG. All of the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code will be met, and the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Board of Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. Can I run you through a couple slides real quick if you can, and then show you a
video. All right.
Here's the still pictures of the touch. First of all, this is the location of the property, and to familiarize you with it real quick, there used to be a car lot out here. Most of the Jeep-type vehicles out here for a long, long time. That went out of business, changed locations. I don't know exactly what happened to it. The property sat kind of empty for a while. One truck used to sit out here that was a plumbing company for a short while. And then that went out of the way, and then I saw a yard sale spring up here, and as we stopped to purchase this particular property, the lady who was renting this house came out to us and wanted to know what we're doing. Of course, we told her, looked at me, I told her that she's going to run a continual yard sale out here. We're going to have to get some permitting in place for it and everything. She then explained to me she is renting this property, so this is a residential structure. Didn't know that at the time. What we have here is, of course, this property here. And I believe Mr. Stalkup owns some more property over here. He has a business down in this area over here. Across the street, where you see this little thing here, there is a billboard, an off-premise advertising. And what we have is some categories in Finish G. And we have what we call on-site advertisement, which means if I own this property and I'm doing business on this property and I want to put up a sign advertising the business that I'm doing on this property, Taney County does not regulate that at all. If I want to advertise anything off-site of this property, then our sign regulations come into play. And so that's kind of the situation that we have there. We're going to take the next slide here. And this is Appendix G. You have this particular area will fall into district number 2, all numbered in state highways, and that's what this is on. Part of the provision for this lease is the minimum spacing between signs of 500 feet, and we measure that on a radius of 500 feet. And then they'll also tell you that off-premise signs must be either on property use or operating with commercial land use, are within 500 feet of the improved area of an operating commercial land use, but not within 100 feet of any residential, primarily residential structure. It must be at least 25 feet from any side or rear property line, residential or otherwise. Just that's kind of the provision that you're looking at. All right. Next one, this is the sign across the street. I believe has a place where you can go on both sides. Now this sign has evidently been here a long time and everything, but unfortunately, this is the little black square we were showing you, so this is the sign across the street that you'd be looking at. This is if we go to the middle of the sign there, imply a 500-foot radius, everything in red falls within that 500-foot radius of that sign. So if somebody came to us today for a sign permit, and it was within 500 foot of any of this stuff here, and it was off-premise advertising, we would say we cannot issue that permit. So, and then your next picture here, just kind of this is the building before the people are living in now set up their yard sale and everything out front here. This is, so you'll know where the building is. The convenience store is just right down here off of M Highway. And then take me to the next one, Dan. And then we went to the residences that we knew existed in the area and planted 100-foot circles so you can see what's going on. Of course, this residence here, then takes in quite an area there, and don't believe that this can meet setbacks, as we mentioned earlier, 25 feet, stuff like that on those setbacks. So you have a picture of it. It says that not within 100 feet of any residential, primarily residential structure. So, that's kind of how these overlays go, and that, depending on where the sign would be placed, would, again, be an issue as far as residents is concerned. And then, lastly, we've we kind of took and measured from the edge of the property where the sign is to the furthest edge of this property, 144 feet, and then, of course, these are diagonal measurements, 153 feet on this side, and of course, I'm guessing here we're probably talking less than 100 feet. So, you have the video?
I have the video, sir.
While we've still...
Yes, sir.
While we're still on that subject there, the sign in question then for the Mr. Stalkup is requesting the variance is located on what parcel?
It is across the street. Okay. Now, he doesn't have a sign up here. There is a sign, but it was on-premise advertising. He's actually wanting to use this for off-premise. Now, I don't know if he's going to be advertising his business or he just wants to put up a billboard and rent out the site. But it will be advertising something that is off of the premise here.
And Mr. Stalkup owns that parcel.
He does own this. He owns some other property around here. Like I said, I don't know really what he's going to advertise, but that's not really our concern and everything. He's asked for off-premise advertising sign, and at this juncture, we
that's actually my brother that owns behind
me. We'll get there.
Yep. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
I just know that back in here it says Stalkup. I'm sorry, I don't know. But I believe now this property that abuts this and everything like that. How it breaks down family, I really don't know.
Okay.
So let's go on to the video, and then you can kind of see this in action. This is the sign that's on the property there, and actually we're going to swing around. This is next door. And then as we come around, you'll see the sign across the street here. Come into view. We're kind of standing near the edge of the property there, at one corner that is the furthest edge. This will be the sign right here that we would say is within the 500 feet radius of this property. And then as you go down, of course, this is the house in the corner and the M Highway here. Good picture of those aerial wires. Structure that these people told me they were living in. And as we come back around, about do it for you. And just wanted you to know that is the convenience store there.
Just
okay.
Commercial within 500.
Right, yeah, that is commercial within 500.
Okay, very good. Since you're standing, Mr. Stalkup, I presume that's who you are. Let me swear you in. Raise your right hand. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
God. Thank you. All right, enlighten us.
I bought the property with a mobile home on it with intentions of renting the house out. And at the time, I was hoping to put a sign on the upper portion.
There's a corner up there. Okay. It's up there on the push that red button and
Put my sign in this area here and maintain my 25 setback from here and here. The sign is going to sit right in there. And it's not a perfect place for a sign, being on an inside corner. An outside corner works better because you're looking out as you're going around the corner. But I'm just wanting the opportunity to do some business with it. I know right now we're kind of in an economic downturn, but as the county picks back up and the need for advertising picks back up more, it's something that makes a little grocery money month to month. We've got plenty of space between my rental and the neighbor's house if the sign was to be blown over by strong force winds and fell flat. There would be no safety structure of doing damage to other property. And we can also clear the power lines if the sign was, we were to get a freak 100-mile straight wind that the structure couldn't sustain. And if you go by the state rule, it's 1,400 feet, and that's based on the same side of the road. The state of Missouri maintains the signing permits on Highway 76 and other counties. And that's the requirement is 1,400 foot on your side of the road. And I'm just hoping we can go by state or get that variance, maybe go by state rule, and I can do some business with Taney County on this part.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Stockup?
If we could get a little more clarity on, and maybe you said it and I missed it, kind of construction, is this a dual-sided sign, big steel pole, small sign?
He didn't specify.
It'd be a dual-sided sign using wood poles or metal poles.
Lighted.
I haven't decided on which way to go with that.
Is it going to be lighted, have lights?
I might do lights. I wouldn't run them 24/7. You know, just be during the winter months when it gets dark at 5 o'clock. Maybe run them up till 8 or 9. And I would do everything I could to divert the lights just on the sign so nobody else is affected.
And your idea then would be to sell advertising to whoever would want to advertise
yes.
on a particular sign?
Then I wouldn't be advertising for places like adult video stores, and you know, it'd be all like Plumber Tire or Danny's Hardware or stuff. You know, it's businesses within Taney County.
Dan, could you put that overlay back up there of the 100 foot radius and the 500?
That one's awesome.
Yeah.
I did not put one off of this because this side's 243 feet, so I think this house here would be good.
Yeah, it would probably come in into here some,
yeah,
but he would want his sign up close to the road there.
So we've got two infringements then if we're working with is the 100 foot radius for residential and the 500 foot for the existing.
Does state code take precedence over county code?
No.
Whichever's the more stringent. And that's why it's here to see you, because we have, as an office, consistently measured and applied this rule to other people who have applied. I would admonish you to remember your, as I see it, your scope of operation and consider a privilege. I don't know if there's been a hardship demonstrated or anything like that. Just a disagreement with the way that we apply our measurements.
Okay. Thank you. Any further comments at all? Would entertain a motion in the matter.
I would make a motion to approve the variance.
We have a motion to approve the variance. Do we have a second? Motion does not carry for lack of a second, then.
I have a question. We're bound by certain rules that we have to follow and certain regulations. Can we approve a variance like this without violating our rule?
You read something at the very beginning.
Privilege and undue hardship.
I mean, if you read it again, it's pretty self-explanatory, yeah. I think.
Something, the mobile home, if it needs to go, that's on my property.
It's not the mobile home that's the biggest problem I'm seeing. I mean, it's within 100 foot, but it's the 500 foot to the other sign. And we're bound by rules. We can, we have to operate under what we're allowed to operate under.
I think you've got a rule here that where the county has set more stricter codes than any other part of the state. And you're also discriminating with your property owners because, you know, you've got one property owner on one side of the road, you allow a sign, but the other you won't allow one. So you're discriminating there in that sense.
And I agree with you.
And if this sign was on the other side of the road in the same proximity, the state would say no, because they have their rules how far. So by that argument, you would discriminate if it was on the other side of the road. You know, there's just some basic rules set down, and unfortunately, this happens to be one of the cases is who gets there first. You know, gets the okay, and then the next person either needs a variance or is told no.
However, even in the case that we do not grant it, there is the alternative to go ahead and proceed through the circuit court.
Sure.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to deny.
Would you want to base it on anything?
Well, I mean, we're bound by what rules and regulations it's in, and we've got two violations here, and I just don't see no hardship or anything in this case.
All right. Would there be a second to the motion?
I mean,
I'll call for a second.
I'll second for Thank the you. Same reason. We're bound by what we can do and can't do, and so I have to second.
Any further
the state law is 1,400 foot on your side of the road.
But it's the code provides for the more stringent of the regulation is going to be followed. And this is the county. It is more stringent.
I'll call for a vote then. Tom, how would you vote?
To deny.
And David, how would you vote?
To deny.
And Jack, how would you vote?
I would vote approve.
And chairman vote deny also. So you can take this decision to the circuit court for further.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
And the next case is Valerie and Robert Budd.
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report dated May 19, 2010 for Valerie and Robert Budd, case number 10-4. This is the public hearing for Valerie and Robert Budd, 265 Friend Drive in the Oliver Township, section 18, township 21, range 21. The applicants are requesting a variance from table 1 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. This deals with setbacks, and we'll get into that in a little bit. The property is located in Oakmont Hills, phase 1, lot 17. The incomplete cabin was started too close to the property line, and when the bank foreclosed on the property, it has been sitting for many years, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, but the bank has foreclosed on it. The current owner, who's purchasing that from the bank, would like to finish the construction. The dwelling as it sits now is currently 17 feet from the property line in our 25-foot setback area, so it is 8 foot as it sits into the setback area. General description of such a property contains 8,601 square feet in the lot. The adjoining properties to the request are residential. Review, the site consists of a foundation and three sides of a log home. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance, the following requirements shall apply as provided by the board. It would be approval for a variance off of the front property line. And our sheet here says 8 feet, gentlemen. However, there is no front porch or anything on this yet. So we measured some of the homes in the area, and most of them have a front porch out there that's about 4 feet. So anything on the front, a step, anything to get into this is going to go further into the setback. So I think they would probably actually need an additional 4 feet, so we're going to be looking at 12 feet into the setback, which would be 13 feet off the property line on the front instead of 25. Now, they can discuss that with you in just a minute. But anyway, they're asking for a variance off of the front property setback. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code will be met. The decision of record shall be filed with the Tennessee County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. Or there's been a lot of history with this Oakmont property, but if you go out Highway 86, down 65 to Highway 86, and you take a ride onto 86 and you go down, there's a little golf course out there on the left across the other side of the road from Big Cedar. And there's a big fountain up there and everything. You go down past that golf course and everything, and it's Jones Road, and then Friend Drive comes into there. This was phase one of Oakmont Hills subdivision, started by Tim Friend and the Bradfords, John Bradford, and we've seen Executive Timbers in here with that. Also, this operates under Branson Log Homes, or did, and under Bradford's, Oakmont Hills, Bradford. Recently, the entire property went into receivership, and they're working through a whole lot of issues as far as their sewer treatment plants and everything like that. But in the meantime, when the bank did foreclose on this, phase one here has paved streets, and it has these individually sold lots and different things like that. Most of the building that's gone on in Oakmont Hills is in phase one here. This particular cabin is three sides up, and the permit was issued in August of 2005. They found out as they were building that they'd already encroached, and these are built on a porch slab. They found out as they started up they were encroaching and stopped building on this cabin. Now, they had also done this in several other areas in this subdivision, but when they ran into this issue, they would replat. This is in an area where you can't really replat. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Dan tonight, and we have a closer picture of this in. I want you to look at this lot right here. Everything. Our requirements right now for a lot to be platted require 70 foot of frontage, and this is the frontage for this lot right here. It's 15 feet. I don't know how this thing ever got platted to start with. This subdivision.
How long has that been built?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This particular property pulled its permit in 2005, so I'm guessing 2003 or somewhere around in there. But anyway, there's several of these places in here like this. Matter of fact, there's one back down here just like that. So I don't know what to tell you can happen to this. I'm just telling you this is a poured foundation, one piece concrete slab. Three sides on it. It is in the setback. It is. Dan, go ahead and kick me up to the next picture, if you don't mind. This is the area here where the house. This is the closest thing here. So sitting right now from the road easement to here. And this picture here is a couple of years old because I'm guessing are washed out because these logs are now gray. I mean they've weathered. They haven't been treated or anything like that. But this, as it sits right now. There is, it is 8 feet into the setback, which makes it 17 feet from the property line. And what they're asking for is variance to allow them to finish this cabin and to go on from there. Go ahead and go one more picture, Dan. I think we got another shot of this. So that kind of what you can see. I was hoping I had a picture of one of the other cabins here, but most of the cabins, again, they have some kind of front deck on here, and it comes out. About 4 feet with a cover on it, that kind of thing like that. You know, you may choose to have to, if you choose to grant this, limit what you want them to do or whatever the case. But if they build as in accordance with the rest of the homes out there, may it look just like them, they will actually be 12 feet into the setback, and meaning a variance of at least 12 feet from our code to the property line. I believe that kind of gets it, unless I can answer any questions for you. This individual did buy the property from the bank in foreclosure with the intention of trying to finish out building this and everything. As the bank is doing a lot of research into this, they're uncovering a lot of issues and problems. My guess is this is not going to be the last variance request you hear in here as the appraisers and the title companies get into this to see what's going on. I'm not saying you have to grant it or not have to grant it. I'm just telling you that's what the situation is.
Utility is on the county easement or on the county? How far off?
No, I'm going to tell you the truth. Out here, think I can tell you. I know where it should be, but I,
well,
I would bet you that this road is in the easement where it's supposed to be. We've constantly been updating and changing these plats out there as we can.
Just 40 foot or 50 foot?
It should be platted at 50 foot. We were requiring 50 foot easements when this came about. We were also requiring 70 foot of frontage.
When did this development occur?
This probably came about in the late 90s, early 2000, when they first started with it. And it started with Tim Friend and Mr. Bradford were the two developers of that. Tim Friend then moved out, went down and began to develop the Monaco down there. That's why this carries the title of Friend Lane. That's his last name on that. I don't know how this got to be like it is. I do know, since I've been with the county, that we have seen many things happen in here and many lots get replatted because of setback issues and things like that. So to tell you that this road is, and you can see this, it would be a 50-foot road easement, but, you know, in looking at this,
it would appear to be 50 foot.
Yeah, that's what we would have planned. But it looks like this road easement runs right into the property line, which it should. Now, these lines can be off these blue lines. So in looking at that and everything, I would tell you that there is a probability that the utilities for this do run right down through there, because you saw in the picture there was some sub-up pipes and everything like that. They should be in the road easement.
Okay. When was the original building permit issued on this cabin? I mean, how did this all get started? Where is that?
This was issued in August of 2005. Let me count the dates here real quick. It was permit number 05-339, issued to Branson Log Homes, Mr. John Bradford, for a 1,260 square foot log home. And why it's stuck here like this and didn't go any further, I don't know. I know ever since I've been with the county, pretty much it's been sitting like this. And my guess is because they didn't have any way to replat, because they sold some of this land around here already to other people.
So these permits don't have any time limit on their
life? Oh, no. If this thing gets an okay to move forward, they have to pull a new permit. Yeah, our permits are issued for 1 year and then they stop.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
If they don't finish it, they don't finish it. They can renew the permit or whatever the case might be. There may have been a stop work order put on this. I didn't find one. But they may have found this to be in non-compliance and said stop until you can fix it, and they never fixed it. This home was owned by the developer.
The lot size, it would have been impossible to move it back further. I mean, I'm not saying they can do it now, but if they moved it back further, they could have met the setbacks.
I believe they could have. Do you remember walking around out there, and it seemed to be fine? I'm just telling you, in my past history with this development and the developer, it was not uncommon for us to go out and say you've encroached, and for them to come in and replat and change several lots of what they owned. Because they could do that because they owned it themselves and they met the criteria. In this situation, they did not do that. I don't know if they didn't own the lots around it where they could do it or what. Yes, in theory, this should have been moved back easily.
So they wouldn't have had to replat.
Right, they wouldn't have had to replat. They didn't choose to do that because they poured slab.
So could they pour four more slab and move the walls back and leave the front slab for a porch?
I suppose you could. I'm not saying that's always an option. I'm just telling you how it exists now, and why it the lot is clearly long enough. I don't remember it being so steep that building back there would have been an issue. I don't know.
Pretty flat.
I mean it's not totally flat. It does fall away.
It's lower level.
I just don't know that they had a clear understanding of where their pins and stuff were supposed to be. Now, as a developer, you expect them to know that. Would I be correct in assuming that? But we have seen it happen in other places. You've seen those people come in here and everything. So,
Dan, can you go back to the picture of the side of the house? One before that.
One before that?
That one, yeah.
Okay. See, it does have a small fall. So it looks like they maybe even built that up. Yeah. But it's not a terrible fall.
Well, there's, I don't know. Okay.
All right. Any more questions, Seth? Okay.
Oh, Tim?
Oh.
Sorry, I need to show you.
I thought the pictures were good enough.
Oh, and if you don't need to see the film, that's fine. It just says we show you a film. But okay. I don't know if the film will show you, I don't know.
Wildlife and
There wasn't that wildlife wasn't out there when we were out there. here
it is, I think. There we go. Sorry, gentlemen.
Yeah, this gives you a good, you can see how everything's kind of weathered and sitting there. So, and I do believe we walked around to the back here so you can kind of get a better view of what's going on.
What's the chances of this road ever getting any bigger than it is? I mean, what's the chances of this road getting bigger or widening or goes to the end of the cul-de-sac, doesn't it?
I don't think they wanted to make it any wider. This is the only area in the subdivision that they actually paved the road. Everybody else is gravel. Of course, this developer is out of the picture, and you know, the bank is trying to expose the property and things like that.
How many other houses on the street encroach into the setback?
To my knowledge, none. Because when they were caught, they were constantly replating lots and things like that. But there's some of them that did start. But to my knowledge, right now, none of them. If we send the surveyor out there, we may find different.
All right, let me swear. Are you Mr. Robert Budd?
Yes, sir, I am.
Let me swear you in then.
Yes, sir.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God.
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you very much. Enlighten us on your version.
You were entirely accurate. I actually own the house two lots up on the left. Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. Whoops, there we go. I actually own this one, and then this one is owned by a very good friend of ours who is actually hoping to build this with us. There actually is a steep incline in the back, and what is already placed under there in the incline is the septic tank for the cabin, so that is already there, and it is on a steep incline.
If I could bother you.
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
These are on a treatment plant. It runs into basically a holding tank type septic that then pumps it out to the treatment plant. But there is a sand filter treatment plant out here for all of these. Mm-hmm. So each one of these is not on septic. I want you to be aware of that. So.
Now, in this particular phase, this is phase one, and you're absolutely correct. This is the only one with paved roads. I did, on the way here tonight, go and take some photos in phase two and phase three. And I believe there may be, I don't know whether there's different rules for phase two or phase three, but there appear to be cabins in those phases which are literally right up to the road. So I don't know if the setbacks vary by phase, but it seems that in this phase, I don't know whether we're required to be further back, but I do know in subsequent phases they're right on the road, and I do have photos with me.
Rules are the same.
Are they the same?
Rules are the same. However, I do know that I have to go back and pull all the history on everything like that. I know some of those people have been before this board for variance. I do know that one of the roads out there does get out of the road easement, and one of the gravel roads out there. I know that some individuals have built their retaining walls and stuff actually in the road easement or on the edge of the road easement there. So it is
a terrible situation, guys. Mm. All right. Obviously, then, you are a knowledgeable buyer of the area, not only living there,
Yes, sir. I actually owned three homes on that
did
street.
Did you not take into consideration when you made the offer to buy the property to make it contingent upon meeting this code?
Yes, sir. It is. It's, it, we are scheduled to close tomorrow if the variance is approved.
So it is contingent upon the variance request.
Yes, and I have.
Good for you. Thank you.
How much is the front porch, like 4 foot, or like you're not doing anything?
Have the plans. It is a 5 foot porch, but all of that, it hasn't even been built yet, so that's all negotiable depending on what your instruction is.
While you're there, I'll show you. This is one of those lots also that has just a little flag on it, 15 foot wide. So this one and this one, and again, I don't know how that came about.
Would you allow a building to be put over a septic tank in this particular case?
No, sir. The
I didn't think
nothing goes on the septic line.
Didn't think you would.
How far?
But it could be moved.
So could you add slab to the back?
I'm not.
And then move the walls back. It's three walls.
I need to talk to the builder. I really couldn't answer that question intelligently. I do know that the slab is there. All the water lines are there. All
in the slab, the drain lines, the water lines, everything are all set up. That would affect the actual inside layout.
And someone did ask earlier, it's three houses up. That house on the very far right, at the bottom right of the screen, is the last house on the street, and that is a cul-de-sac.
Well, you certainly don't want to buy somebody else's mistake.
No, sir, you're right.
And that's what we're looking at here.
I will say that it is a terrible eyesore, and we are very close with all of our neighbors since the resort actually went into bankruptcy and subsequently into foreclosure. We have come together and we have formed a homeowners association, so we are collectively, these are all second homes, no one lives here full time, but we are all very close to one another, and it really is our expressed desire to get that eyesore removed, which is why two of us are actually combining resources to finish the project.
Okay. Any further discussion at all? Questions of Mr. Budd? Okay. I'll close the meeting to regular so that we can make a decision on this one. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Motion been made and second to approve the request of,
but I think it should be.
We need the exact number on what we are talking about as far as
8 feet, 12 feet,
the approachment or encroachment on over 8 feet and don't get it.
It's setting 8 feet right now, yes, sir.
Right.
One step into the house would have to put you out at least another 18 inches if you only allow one step. If you, as he's mentioned, you would build the front porch to whatever scale that you would deem.
Scott. You might got to have 4 foot to get anything.
Yeah. And if there's an eave on the porch.
And I believe that's probably what he's measuring, saying, because I actually measured the porch area and didn't measure the eave.
The
they measured
about,
these eaves are the front porch right there.
Yeah. So, you see it looks like a continuation of the roof. What we're getting at is, our setback is measured from the furthest overhang.
Yes, sir.
I actually measured the walk.
Given 4 foot, that would give you a 3 foot door stoop or whatever, and with a 1 foot overhang.
Okay. The reason for the variance?
Well, we're still discussing the motion, but I guess we haven't really pinned down the footage.
Yeah.
But we probably need a particular reason because, frankly, there is no hardship in this particular case. He has not purchased the property, and it would probably fall on the grounds that we're granting a privilege in this particular case to make this property owner afford to buy the property. If he still wants to buy it and move it back within the setback and redo the configuration of the house and remove the septic tank and all those other problems, but it's not his problem yet. Might have gotten a good deal from the bank, and he may even get a better one. But to your motion, we just need a dimension on the variance.
I'd say 4 feet.
So you want to make
it be a total of 12 feet.
12 feet. Would the second agree with that?
Yeah.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the variance request for a set variance of 12 feet into the setback of 25, which would remain 13. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I would call for the vote then. Tom, how would you vote?
To approve.
David, how would you vote?
To approve.
Jack, how would you vote?
I would vote not to approve.
And Chairman would also vote not to approve, so we don't have a 3 in favor of the motion, so it is denied.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let me go back to, or forward anyway, to old business. You have a matter before us?
Yes, sir, we do. Just to give you a quick history on this, and I hope I pronounce this, Mr. Andrew appeared before you in January of this year. This is a storage shed down in Big Bear Estates, the log cabins. As you remember, there was a complaint made. A neighbor up the hill moved his shed. We also had to file on this house because we felt like this shed is encroaching on the side neighbor and possibly even on the back neighbor. Showed you pictures of, and we'll get into that again in just a minute. But to make a long story short, couldn't determine exactly what kind of variance or amount of variance was needed because Mr. Andrew did not have a survey at the time. So at the January meeting, you asked Mr. Andrew to get a survey and to come back and to request a rehearing from you. In April of this year, I had not heard back from Mr. Andrew at the time, so I sent him a letter, April 23rd, 2010, letting him know that since we had not heard from him, didn't have the survey, had no request to come back before you, that we needed to go ahead and move his shed into the proper setbacks. Sent him that letter, also sent a letter to the gentleman that lives behind him because that was brought up at that meeting also. Heard back from both individuals, and Mr. Andrew said he was in the process of getting his survey. I explained that I didn't know that you would allow a rehearing at this date and everything, but I would bring him before you to let him ask that request to you since the 90 days had passed. So he is here tonight, as is the neighbor up the street, up the hill that has the rock wall and everything like that. We did not have a sign-up sheet for this because this was simply going to be a request for a rehearing. However, I did want to make it known that those people were there, and I believe a survey has been done.
Okay.
So that's kind of just to bring you up to speed.
Poll the panel or the board here. Is anybody in favor or not in favor of extending the 90-day period or not to allow the rehearing? I thought 90 days would have been plenty of sufficient time to get it done. No, not at this time, sir.
I think the 90 days is sufficient in itself.
Okay. Consensus then is not to hear this rehearing request.
Mr. Andrew, then they've chosen not to hear this. If you would like to take this to circuit court to appeal their decision, right now as it stands, the decision was denied to grant you a variance, and we would be expecting to show you the proper alignment.
Yes, sir, but I can't appeal.
You can't appeal to circuit court, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. We have the minutes from the previous meeting that we need to take action on. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I would like that motion to approve.
Motion been made to approve the minutes. And any second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Carried unanimously. And old, new business?
If I could talk to you just for a couple minutes, gentlemen. As you know, back in our February meeting, we began to talk about zoning districts and different things like that. We set up some subcommittees and different things like that. At the current time, we are meeting with the county commission. And usually at that meeting, we'll have Frank Preston, we'll have Sean Pingleton that's on our, and Mark Blackwell, which are on our planning board also, and then Bob, who is normally here. When he's here, he comes to those kind of things. And all of you are welcome to come. We have our last meeting, scheduled meeting, coming up Wednesday, this next Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. I've kind of given you some, some of the information in sitting with the commissioners we have decided to settle on. Take time to send back to the planning board and everything for a recommendation, you gentlemen also. One agricultural district and three residential districts. We will then on Wednesday look at probability of two commercial districts, one industrial district and one district that we're going to call an overlay district. And in that overlay district, we will deal with PUDs, the ability to build duplexes, some different things like that. But we feel like we can in that deal with these issues that hinder us under our normal code book at this time. I know if you've read the newspaper or anything much, you've seen a lot going on with Aegis Engineering and different things like that were hired to kind of give us a draft copy of this. There were some issues as to the copy we had. The commission had directed our office to write a letter rejecting the draft ordinance that we've got. Aegis is holding on zoning designations. We're trying to establish current use, not necessarily future land planning, although this will hit into that a little bit, has to. So we're just basically trying to establish existing use, kind of define that so that we can set up some districts here. And they'll have to be fleshed out and a whole lot more going on. It's quite well possible that we're going to go through this, establish these districts, and then phase three of this contract can be completed. So I don't know if it goes back to Aegis after this or what's going to happen, but the statement was made in our first meeting that in doing this, this was going to help bring it close to phase three of that contract. So I've given you that. Basically, if we've been admonished by several different counties that I visited with and to keep it as simple as possible. I've got a friend that's in Christian County, and they're adding zoning districts in as we speak, and it's quite cumbersome with all the districts that they've created and everything like that. May very well be necessary where they're at, but that's not exactly. There's a few goals that we hope to accomplish with this, but one being state compliance, the other being being able to define existing use. There's a couple of issues in the county we'd like to be able to handle, and if we have a district, we can say this goes in this district, we can handle those issues. So that's kind of what's going on. It's going to go on for a while. I don't think we'll see anything. We'll be getting out into the county once we get back with another draft document, stuff like that, and when this all gets overlaid into a zone map and everything. That's kind of where that's at, but I want you to be aware of it. And as we go along, like I say, on Wednesday, you'll see probably the rest of these districts you know, come to light. There may be some added, there may be some taken away. We did spend the first Friday, spent 2 hours. At one time we had one agricultural district. We had two agricultural districts. We went back down to one agricultural district. And just, you can really get hung up with everybody having an example of this or an example of that or a problem with this or a problem with that.
So we're only focusing on the verbiage up here, not the graph?
Yes. As we talked last Friday, we got into a little bit of permitted and conditional uses, and the request was made that we put some of these uses in there. As we talked today, they decided not to cloud the issue at all or with any of those issues. So all we're looking at is the definitions at the top. It'll say A1. This is what agriculture is. This is an A1 district. And if you look on the R, it'll say R1, R3, and R5. And we intentionally left 2 and 4 out there in case we might want to slide something in between those two. We don't have to renumber everything and do that, so we left a little bit of room there. But all we're looking at is, will these districts take in current use in any county or meet our needs? So in the R1, we dealt with single-family residential. In R2, we dealt with multifamily, duplexes and up, and of course there'll be some verbiage concerning duplexes, but once we hit a threeplex and higher, the fire codes step in. At a duplex, they don't, so duplexes are going to be dealt with some additional verbiage once this is set. R3 is multifamily. R5 deals with mobile home parks and RVs, and again, as we begin to get into that, we have some verbiage in our code book now. We'll probably look to maybe possibly change some of that verbiage to address the needs or the issues that we have. But right now, just looking at the definitions, not looking at the permitted or conditional uses at all, that's something that will be hashed out at a later time. So that is the document that we had in our meeting this morning, so I want you to have the same document, but just the definitions at the top of the page.
Is there any particular county that you're favoring to copy off of or pattern yourself off of, or is it like
Clay?
I love Clay County in their code book. Now Clay County has.
Now he didn't set me up for this, by the way. I just was curious.
Well, I made it known that I do like Clay County's book. I think it's easy to read. I don't think it's real cumbersome. Clay County does have. Be it good or be it bad, they do have a current master plan. They do enforce building codes and everything like that, which gives them some liberties to do some things. But I think as far as everybody's concerned, it is easy to read. It flows nice. It addresses issues, but it doesn't appear to be too cumbersome. It allows a lot of uses in a lot of places. So I really like it. I've read about 11 different code books. But one time I was really saying yes. I
mean,
I'm not that big.
Mr. Excitement.
People do some really strange things, but you don't live in that county, so you don't know why they do it. But they all try to address their issues. Now, as you know, Stone County, Christian County, and Taney County started basically with the same book. If you land down side by side today, you wouldn't recognize them because they've each had different issues come up and they've dealt with them in different ways. I talked to Joy at Stone County. She told me the process they went through. She said, I don't recommend you do that. When I talked to her 2 weeks ago, they were just finishing up revision number 107. They do not have a finished book. She did not think they would have a finished book somewhere in another 4 to 8 weeks. She's not sure what's in their book completely. She has to call some other people sometime to find out was this issue addressed. But she said it's like starting brand new. She said, I don't recommend that you do that. Incorporate as much of your code book as you can and keep it as simple as possible to meet your needs. Bob Ashley is a good friend of mine. He is the planning and zoning administrator in Christian County. If you'll remember, about a year and a half ago, Christian County passed building codes, but still didn't have any zoning districts. So now they're going through doing zoning districts. And when I pulled, they have what they call a unified development code. It has their floodplain ordinances in there. Everything that they do is in this one book. And he said, you want to keep that separate as possible because if something happens in this one book, it can affect, you know, the others.
Yeah.
If it gets thrown out, and everything's out. But in looking at, it looks to me like they took advantage of just about every zoning district you could find. And I think I've counted involved with that, with their zoning district, I think it takes up about 90 pages in this code book. And he said to me, keep it as simple as you can. Now, it's got to meet our needs, but we don't necessarily want to change a whole lot of the way business is done in Tane County. The commission feels it's urgent that we have the zoning districts that will make us state compliant, and that's where we're headed. So, a long process. And then, if you'll remember, also somewhere near the last quarter of this year, we should be getting new floodplain maps in Tane County. So this all might hit just all about the same time. So that's kind of what's going on. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that I can for you. And I'd like to make one more statement to you, if I can.
You're leaving?
No, sir.
Clay County.
I may be, but I'm not aware of this yet. I appreciate the work you gentlemen do. It's a hard thing to try to keep this stuff clear as far as privilege and everything. In talking with FEMA, you know, we have provision for variances in our floodplain ordinance, and we're admonished by FEMA time and time again. Do not make any variance if you don't have to, because every time you make a variance, you weaken your code. Now, again, that's why lately you've heard me admonish you. Just make sure we're not granting privilege. And I think, Mr. Clemson, you're very clear on this deal. This particular individual, that's not his problem yet. Yes, it is an ISO form and everything like that. So I appreciate that. And I think the same principle probably would apply. If I can get a variance anytime I need it, then, you know, I'm not trying to make you hard-nosed or anything like that to where you say no to everything. But,
it's regardless of personal feelings, it's...
I mean, if I was here wanting one, I'd want it and everything. But I know it's a tough job and everything like that. But it's warranted. We need to grant it. But we, you know, we've got to be very careful that we're not granting it. Mr. Possum?
I agree. Just say no. Unless there's a very good reason that meets the statutory definition.
No.
Traditionally, this board disapproves more than it approves. Traditionally. And that's what it does, but they're all legitimate cases. So, just want to say, appreciate the job you do, guys.
Well, we appreciate your efforts as well as the staff.
Thank you.
All and everyone.
Thanks.
Are we still short staff-wise by two people?
If you've read the newspaper even today, it looks like the probability is that the budget's going to be even tighter next year than it was. This year, our office is two people shorter than what we had allocation for. The position we were holding open, hoping to replace when business began to pick up, and it is picking up a little. It's not, you know, if you're in the field, you know that. Well, they eliminated that position from our budget, so it's not there. They have said, you know, in the event that things get busy and we have to add it, then we have to add it. They understand that. I know, and everything. But right now, it's not. I think if I have my facts correct, the budget so far this year is, or last year, I can't remember, Bob, but it was like $1.1 million in the...
We're going to find approximately $1.7 million if they want to balance the budget without going into what they have in reserve. They don't want to spend their savings. Certainly, they'd like to get as close to that 1.7 cut as they can.
Unfortunately, a lot of people cut last year. If you listen much to it, Road and Bridge got hit pretty hard the last few days, so they're going to start that a little earlier this year. I don't know where it's going to come from, but it's probably going to, you know, I'm going to say it doesn't have the personnel feeling real fuzzy, you know. So, you know, I don't know that it'll go that far. There's options, but I would say at least through attrition, people will be lost. You know, retiring, whatever the case might be, probably won't be replaced until that's balanced out, would be my guess. So consequently, we will remain two people short.
What are they holding the reserve for?
Emergencies.
There are emergencies. There are expenditures. There are capital expenditures. You know, you don't mind one-time expenses out of reserves, but when you get recurring expenses, and a recurring expense is adding an additional employee. Yeah. It's something that you have to pay year after year. It's just not a good idea to spend into your savings for recurring expenses.
Okay, thank you.
Just.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Basically,
so if you hear anything, let me know.
Well, if you look at your book right away, we voted for planning and zoning in 1966, and here we are.
Yes, sir.
Almost 44 years later.
And actually, planning and zoning has been brought an additional three times since then.
Yeah.
And the margin for it continues to increase, where people saying, yes, we want this. I don't think that will be an issue. I don't know that. You know, this what we're going through right now can cause a lot of hard feelings. And
we did get some filibustering today.
Yes, we did, and it would be possible that that you could see somebody say, let's question that and take it to a vote. I think Taney County, the overall picture for planning and zoning is that it's not just telling you what you can do or anything like that. It protects you. It keeps the big farm out of your single family residential neighborhood. Your neighbor may come in and build out of twigs and hay and everything like that, and we can't do anything about that, but we can keep from having pigs next to you, you know. So it's a little bigger than just, you know, having rules and regulations. It does help to protect property values and everything like that, and I think the majority of the people in Taney County would see it that way. Everybody doesn't like, you know, the rules tell me what I can do, what I can't do, but if it also makes sure that you have wide enough streets, it makes sure that you have, you know, your neighbor's not, his water or his roof's not running down your window, you know, something like that. So, you know, it does a lot more than just, you know, make it hard on people to do what they want to do sometimes.
Thank you.
Anything on the agenda for next month?
Yes, indeed. It's a good one, gentlemen.
Don't tell us yet.
No. They want it to be a surprise.
Ron, you adjourn within 7 months before I run out of.
Okay, this will be real quick. Out at Forest Park, out by the charcoal plant.
Shepherd the Hills Expressway.
There's a we issued a permit for an individual to build a garage and a carport in the garage. He stores stuff in the carport. He puts his RV in because that was originally an RV home. Of course, now people have gone out there and built houses and things like that. But we renewed the permit this year because he hadn't built yet. And one of the neighbors has complained and wants to challenge that decision. So it's a matter of, is he within his 90 days? Is the renewal, that's a decision for you guys to make. But his contention is that this is the main structure, and therefore it has to meet different setbacks, because in a non-habitable structure, our code book allows it to go within 5 feet of the rear property line. We view this as a non-habitable structure. It is a garage. It does have a laundry room in it and a place to park his RV. If he's not living in his RV, he's not there. So we issued a permit for a garage, non-habitable structure, approved a setback of 5 feet from the rear property line, and that is being contested.
He's appealing the administrative decision made by staff.
Yes, by staff. So that's what you'll be hearing. We've got a lot of information for you and everything. But
there's no house there?
He had not started building. He just the owner of the property who's doing the building is not sure. He wants to wait till this is cleared up before he goes any further. However, his RV will not fit. It's a big one. It won't fit under the shed. If it's not to this length, and as you know, out there, there's been a lot of people in here for variances. We have some blanket variances out there. From our perspective, there's a lot of issues, and I'm not going to take the time on that tonight, but okay. You will be hearing that case and making a call on that.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. You made seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Two motions passed and two didn't tonight.
Two passed.
One had two cases.
Proving the minutes and adjourning. Both.
Oh, yes. I fell for that one.